Today on Real Life Radio.
When the rapture takes place, the world will go into what I'll just call a free fall. Designed, by the way, by God, and let's be honest, designed by the principalities and powers of darkness. This is the hour of darkness when this happens.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, I'm asking you to mark your calendars January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific Time for a very special Happening Now service. This is 90 minutes, fast-paced, where I sit down with Seth Gruber, the leading voice for the pro-life movement. Seth is absolutely the tip of the spear when it comes to understanding the origins and the current issues of the pro-choice movement and where it's going. Friends, listen. Seth is going to be revealing to you some incredible information. For example, just one thing will be the linkage between Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Adolf Hitler, and his march to destroy the Jews and homosexuals and other of dark skin. Where did that come from? Well, we're even going to go back to the ancient days of pagan gods. It's a remarkable, remarkable time. Mark your calendar, January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time, and you can view it live at jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his new series called Futures with a message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 1. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about the future and why that really matters in our lives today. You see, after the church is raptured into heaven, the world is in a free fall. In a post-raptured world, deception will become the norm. Left behind, the people will cry for peace and safety, and that's when the son of perdition, known as the Antichrist, will be revealed. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that the number one priority in the study of Bible prophecy is salvation through Jesus Christ. Bible prophecy is meant for you to be rewarded by the Lord for receiving Him into your heart. Now with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
2 Thessalonians 2. And we're looking at a series that we're calling Futures. And we're looking at the many prophetic doctrines of the Bible and how they relate to our time and, of course, God's nature. We're looking today at a message titled, After the Saints Go Marching In. Last week, we talked about the rapture of the church, and now we're going to go and begin now our study of what happens to this world after the church is removed from the earth. And so, after the saints go marching in, that is, into heaven, what happens in this world? And we're going to be reading a remarkable portion of Scripture today where Paul the Apostle gives the Thessalonian believers this amazing overview. And by the way, he's going to cover in few verses what is at least a seven-year period of time. Father, your Bible tells us, your Scripture tells us that you love the one who trembles at your word. And this is one of those examples that should cause all of us to tremble. The one that needs to tremble the most is the one that has no clue nor care about what your Bible tells us and even speaks of them here. Those that would reject your love, your gospel, your forgiveness, your lordship over their lives. And as we look at the prophetic word of God, we see right here where there's coming a time when those who have played too long with the things of God without a serious commitment will someday be swept away with overwhelming deception sent by you upon them in judgment. So, Father God, we pray that for all of us that are here now and those that are watching and listening, that would not come near to us, that we would be careful students and obedient children of your word of life. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, church. As we mentioned last time together, the number one priority and purpose of all of the doctrines of the Bible is to bring you and I to a full understanding of God's salvation that is purchased by His grace, that is God's gift has been given to us, and His act of redemption, which Jesus Christ not only died on the cross for the sins of the world, yes, that's true. The Bible says Jesus paid the debt of all sin. But that doesn't mean that everybody goes to heaven. He paid the price, but only those who accept His gift of salvation go to heaven. And in that great display of love, there is damnation of those who reject. And it's not that He, in His attitude or in His character, damns them or condemns them. The Bible says that we as a human race is condemned already. But He gives the offer for us to come and receive the forgiveness of our sins and the hope and the assurance of eternal life. That's the gift of salvation. Imagine in this Christmas season, for example, you give someone a gift and they just throw it right back in your face and they say, not only do I not want your gift, get out of my house. You would walk away sad and rejected and disappointed and hurt. And yet every day all around the world, the gospel goes out and there are people who say, I don't need that. God, you get out of here with that. And there's a judgment here. And according to the context of our study, we're looking at the world that transpires after the saints go marching into heaven when they're called up. The power of God's word. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, an awesome passage of scripture. John, the author of John's gospel, the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John was the one given the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. In 1 John 5:13, the Bible says these things, it's John speaking, have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that awesome? And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Salvation is the key Bible doctrine and the key to Bible prophecy doctrine. Salvation. Salvation, your salvation is paramount, the issue of your life. The fact is, Jesus Christ in His first coming was a matter of Bible prophecy being fulfilled. The same fact is true that Jesus Christ's second coming, when He returns, is a matter of Bible fact. I love that. We ought to be very bold and very encouraged, lest we be found out to be hypocrites. That day, 2,000 years ago, was a Bible prophesied day. When we talk about the second coming of Christ and end time events and the rapture of the church, it is a prophesied prophetic event. And we can be rest assured that God's going to fulfill His word. But the study of the Bible and Bible prophecy, you guys all know, right? Unless you're visiting today, that because there's been so many new people coming to church, this series is very intentional. I'm telling you that it's absolutely intentional, as I've been announcing, because so many people have come from so many churches that have never studied the prophetic doctrines of the Bible. And yet over 25% of your Bible is futuristic in its messaging. And that's remarkable. That's powerful. And you need to know that. And I have to be very honest with you. I expect people to write me letters and say things like, I'll be back after you're done with this series. I don't want to hear this kind of stuff. And that's dangerous. But that's exactly why I'm doing this. You need to know the full counsel of God, even if it results in this sanctuary being emptied out. You need to know the truth. And we're living in amazing days. I don't want you to miss out on anything. These are amazing times to know God's word. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13 says, and then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Isn't that a great promise? Verse 12, verse 13 goes on, and you will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. What a great promise. It is incumbent upon God's people to seek him and to call out to him and to pray. That's who we are. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 answers that in the New Testament. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, there's the word, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want to know what God's will is for your life? It's no mystery. It's found right there in Hebrews 11, 6. Seek God with all of your heart, be diligent, and God will reward you for your pursuit. And so that's why we want to be devoted to the full counsel of God. By way of introduction, six things I want you to write down really quick. This is vitally important. Why do we need to study these things? Number one, because if you do, you will grow more resilient in this world regarding temptation. Watch this. Listen to this. Write it down. If you seek all of God's word, the Bible in totality, including prophetic or Bible teaching chapters and books like the book of Revelation, like the book of Daniel, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that you have a growing supernatural resilience against the temptations of this world. It's a supernatural reality. Just like putting food into your stomach causes you to have energy, or gas in the tank of your car. The same thing is true about understanding that God's word is true. You can bank on it. God will keep his word, and that will make you resilient. I use the word resilient, but you know I love the word galvanize. It will galvanize you against the temptations of this world. Number two, you will have an increased activity or action or strength to endure all the issues of life. When you see what's going on, California, our government, our weather is fine. Now, this is a little too cold for me personally. First service, I didn't know if we'd survive, but we made it. The winds start blowing and you can set your watch to it. Some bozo starts a fire to destroy people and our property. And it stinks and it's smoky and it's terrible. And I found myself looking out the window of my house to, yet again, billowing smoke. And I concluded this, Lord, I'm so glad we're in this series, because you're reminding me right now, this world is not my home. And, you know, read the fine print of the Bible, by the way. It's so biblical to understand that. The Bible says that we're not going to get flooded again when God judges the earth. It's all going to burn. So you just remember that. Next time you see the hills on fire, call 911 and then be reminded, it's all going to burn. Did you buy a new car? It's going to burn. A new dress? Did you buy a new house? It's all going to burn. Eventually, you know what? Knowing that he's coming back and that he keeps his word is going to give you the ability to endure. Thirdly, you will notice that, and this is important, that the more you are fixated on Christ's return and that effect upon your life, you're going to find yourself thoughts and habits of sin growing less and less powerful in your life. They're going to diminish and lose strength. We all need to hear that. That the more you focus on Christ's return, the habit of sin and the thought of sin will be greatly, greatly diminished in your life. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. That's a great thing. That's called, by the way, holiness. That's God doing it in you. Not you doing it yourself. And then another thing, number four, is that you will find yourself thinking and speaking and doing more from a heavenly perspective. You're going to get excited about doing things that bless the heart of God. A people that are eating, consuming, and doing the word of God is a people experiencing revival. You need to know that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number five, you will delight in the desire to serve and love others. It's just going to happen. Ministry opportunities. When the Bible gets in you, you know what comes out of you? Words like this. Hey, how can I serve? What can I do? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that come out of your own life? You know why that's happening? Because the Bible's stirring you up. You've eaten it, and now it's gotten a hold of you, and it's been converted into spiritual energy, and you're not content anymore to sit around and be a pew potato. It's like, I got to do something. Here's the cool thing about that. You don't have to do anything. But when God gets a hold of you, you get all excited, and you say, well, how am I going to know? You're going to be excited about it. You're going to pull up to church here and you're going to say, we need to do something about the parking. Maybe God gave you the idea to fix it because the Lord knows we need help. Maybe you've got the idea. You get excited about it, whatever it might be. That's God doing that in you. Why? Because you're fixated on his word and his word is telling you that he's coming back. So let's get up and let's get going. And then sixth, you'll develop a very high view of scripture. This Bible, this book will come alive to you. It's no longer a 1 hour Sunday gig, but it's a daily thing with God. This book will come alive and it will be very, very highly respected and valued. I grew up at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. I've never known any other church than that. Pastor Chuck was my pastor. But just growing up at that ministry, every day of the week, there were incredible ministries taking place. And way back in the 70s, on Wednesday nights, the chief executive officer of a corporation called Western Digital would pull up in his Ferrari in the church parking lot. He'd grab his briefcase and run because he was always late. He would run to the podium and he would open up his Bible and start giving an insane Bible study. Every word, I'm talking about Chuck Missler. The guy just unlocked the Bible and I got an appreciation of every word of the Bible meant something. And what did that result in? High view of scripture. And that's what God would have you to do. Remember that. You're going to grow. You're going to have this endurance. You're going to notice that sin's diminishing. You're going to find a heavenly perspective operational in your life. You're going to be delighting and loving other people. And you're going to develop a high view of scripture, which leads us to this. Now, after the saints go marching in to heaven, if you missed last Sunday's message, get it? We now look at argument number one. A post-rapture world. There is left behind a world in free fall. Will you mark that down? When the rapture takes place, the world will go into what I'll just call a free fall. Designed, by the way, by God, and let's be honest, designed by the principalities and powers of darkness. This is the hour of darkness when this happens. And number one, church, there is what's left behind in a post-rapture world, what we see in verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. Ain't no way. Don't let anyone bamboozle you into anything else other than Bible, that the day will not come unless or until the falling away comes first and here it is. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Mark in your notes, we're talking about the Antichrist. There is no way, according to scripture, that the Antichrist can be revealed to the world in power until the church is taken out of the way. And then he's going to be revealed. There'll be this massive void created when the rapture takes place in the spiritual realm. I want to underscore that. I don't want to disappoint you, and I really want to be wrong about this. But when the rapture happens, I don't think there's going to be 100 zillion, trillion, million people missing all over the planet and people are freaking out. I don't believe that's going to happen. I think that's a smaller number than what books or articles would like you to believe. And I don't think it's going to be such a big, noticeable thing. I just don't think so. When I look around the world, and I think scripture agrees, Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? And in the day and age in which you and I live in, there certainly is a falling away, people departing from faith. And when Christ comes back, though, there will be what's most important, a void, as it were, where spiritual light is removed in a degree and darkness will fill that void. But there'll be a post-rapture world and it will be in a free fall. And how so? Well, we know this, that the man of sin is going to be revealed. The man of sin, the Bible calls him the Antichrist. He's also, by the way, Judas Iscariot was called the son of perdition in the Bible, and only one other person is called the son of perdition, and that is the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the word Antichrist, it doesn't mean he runs around, you know, with red underwear and a pitchfork. That's not who he Antichrist means instead of Christ or the replacement for Christ. An imposter. He's going to be an imposter. This is Satan's plan, according to the Bible. And he's going to have a realm of deception. But in a post-rapture world, in the darkness, this void will be filled. Matthew 24, verse 21, Jesus says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time." Wow. Translation, the Holocaust will look like a picnic. No, nor ever shall be. A time so gross, so dark, so terrible after the church is out of here. Deception will become the norm. I know that will never happen in our day and age where deception will be the norm. Are you kidding me? Deception, trickery, to deceive. When somebody lies to you, how is it that they lied to you? Well, they lied to you because they're liars. And they learn how to lie. It's not hard to learn how to lie, by the way. We naturally, our little kids, you never say, listen, this is how you tell a lie, Susie. Listen to me. No, you got to tell them to tell the truth. They're cute as a button, but the little creeps, they will lie right in front of you. It's in them already. It's inside of them. And listen, in a post-rapture world, there'll be a world in free fall and evil will be rampant. Look around right now and listen to what's forthcoming. A world of violence. 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one. Are we experiencing lawlessness? Yes, we are. And this hasn't even happened yet. This is just warm up. You see, Pastor, I wanted my friend to come today to be encouraged. Listen, you want to be encouraged? Want to be encouraged? Listen carefully. Listen carefully, because you don't have to go through all this stuff. I told you, this is a post-rapture teaching now of what's going to happen after the Christians are gone. Should Christ come back? And look, let's be honest. If he doesn't come back soon, it won't be a surprise. If he doesn't come back soon, it's not going to be a surprise. It's like, what else could happen? When's he going to surprise us? We look around at the world, it's like, any day now. In fact, Lord, I think 5 minutes ago would have been really good. The world's gone nuts. But that's because you know his word and you can identify. So the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Wow. With all. Church, remember this. All means all when you see the word all in the Bible. Doesn't mean some power. All power, signs, and lying wonders. You and I have no power against that warning, but by the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life as a believer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 1. We're so glad you took the time to be here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series. It's called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, would you like a resource that shows you how God himself can nourish your soul? Not with just mere words, but by truly living in his presence. Discover how our current featured resource called The Pursuit of God by the famous Christian author A.W. Tozer can transform your way of thinking about God. And we've made it available for a gift of any amount on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
Hey, everybody, I'm asking you to mark your calendars January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time for a very special Happening Now service. This is 90 minutes, fast-paced, where I sit down with Seth Gruber, the leading voice for the pro-life movement. Seth is absolutely the tip of the spear when it comes to understanding the origins and the current issues of the pro-choice movement and where it's going. Friends, listen. Seth is going to be revealing to you some incredible information. For example, just one thing will be the linkage between Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Adolf Hitler, and his march to destroy the Jews and homosexuals and other of dark skin. Where did that come from? Well, we're even going to go back to the ancient days of pagan gods. It's a remarkable, remarkable time. Mark your calendar, January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time, and you can view it live at jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.